Listening Dog Media.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to Outside Centre, the brand new rugby podcast for the Women's Six Nations. Over there, we have World Cup winner, five-time Six Nations winner, Vicky Fleetwood.
Hello!
And this is Robbie James. And over in the Pearl of the Orient, the Fragrant Harbour, otherwise known as our old friend Hong Kong, it's Ellie Boatman, and she sent us this voice note.
Hey, Robbie and Fleeto. Missing you guys out here. It's very hot, humid, and cloudy Hong Kong. I'm getting used to the jet lag and the climate out here. We've got a captain's run today, everything's going well, and then we play in 2 days' time. I'm very excited. Apparently there's lots of people going, over 40,000 people going to the stadium this weekend. So I can't wait to play, but I'm missing you guys, and I'll see you next week. See you later!
And I'm sorry, Vicky, but she is not missing us. That's a load of rubbish.
I know. She's doing far bigger and better things than being on the podcast, unfortunately.
All right. You need to be personal.
playing for Great Britain, I think, over being on the podcast.
Yes, I got point taken, understood. But yeah, sending all our love to Ellie, so she'll be back on next week. But she's over. You can watch, by the way, the Sevens, don't forget, this weekend on TNT and stuff. That's going to be proper fun. So it's me, it's Vicky Fleetwood today. And coming up, we're going to review round two of the Six Nations. There were loads of really interesting sort of results and stories as well, actually, from the weekend. So we'll go through some of those. We will continue making pasta out of rugby players. But to kick things off, let's review round two of the Six Nations, and we're going to start by talking Scotland-France. Of course, Scotland were ahead for big parts of that game on Saturday. It was ultimately a defeat by 15 points to 5, but what a game it was, and what a first guest to have on the podcast, because earning her 50th cap on Saturday was Louise McMillan. Louise, welcome to Outside Centre.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you on, and especially off the back of a fresh sort of special day that you would have had on Saturday. And of course, you and Vicky know each other, right?
Yes, actually, mates.
And did you, I don't know if you heard this, but when we did the sort of first podcast of Outside Centre, Vicky was proper singing your praises, and we went through one player to watch on each side. And who did you go for Vicky?
I went with Lou. Yeah, unfortunately, we didn't actually get to play alongside each other because I was rehabbing and then decided that I was going to retire. But just watching her, like, in training, in matches, yeah, incredible player. So that's why I went with you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Let's get straight into it, because it was a special day for you, Louise, on Saturday. And can we start right at the start of the day? Because you had that job of being the first person to run out, didn't you? And I loved watching that, because so often we see people like getting their like 50th cap or 100th cap, and they keep it so cool when they run out, and they act like it's another game and look very awkward. You were just smiling. You looked delighted.
No, I was delighted, I think. It's funny because in the week leading up to there was a lot of chat about my 50th cap. I actually forgot that you have to do the run out by yourself until a journalist asks, and how do you think you'll find it? And I was like, oh my goodness, I actually hadn't thought about it. And it was quite like, the thought of it was quite nerve wracking, but I very much decided this is a privilege. You'll only get to this once in your life. I'm just going to take in the moment. And for us, that was the first time that we've actually sold out like four sides of a stadium. So that's the first time I've ever played at like Scotland home, where there's people on every side. So that was pretty cool to see anyway. But yeah, running around by yourself is a little bit scary. Where do you go? Are you going to go to the right line? But I think I managed to work it out.
Thankfully, your teammates didn't leave you that long on your own, though. Like, I've seen a few where they've like dragged it out, and that person who's gone out for their 50th or 100th or whatever it is they're celebrating is just there like, please come and join me.
Well, we also have the tradition in Scotland that the person who's maybe like going to run out or have a special occasion leads the team off the bus. And we have definitely had occasions where girls have fully gone out by themselves into the change room and everyone else is still faffy with their bag that this person is solely, singly walking out by themselves. But when I got up, I made sure, right, some people better be moving, because we've had occasions where people have just completely walked out by themselves, said hi to the crowd and just looked like a complete loner, and then the team kind of follows after. So there is always the risk.
And on that, don't you also get to hold, always hold like a rugby ball, don't you? Is that like a special ball that you're holding or something?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing we have. It's the first ball from the first like Scotland Women's International that they've all signed. So it is a pretty cool ball of legacy, and it kind of just reminds us who's been there before us. So it's a pretty cool honour to get to walk out with it.
That's really cool.
And Vicky, didn't you, just on 50th caps as well, didn't you, I know I've heard this, you missed your, or someone, everyone missed your 50th cap, didn't they?
Yeah. We were away, we'd got a new team manager, and prior to that, kind of every five caps it was read out in a shirt presentation. And yeah, for one reason or another, it didn't get kind of like read out. And then I obviously knew it was my 50th, but I didn't want to make a big thing of it and be like, oh, let me lead the team out. So I just kind of went with it and just let it happen. And then afterwards I got like half-assed presented with like a 50th cap, and everyone was like, oh my God, team out. So then the next game, which was actually my 51st, it was obviously read out that it was my 50th. And I just led the team out really awkwardly, like, it's my 51st, but okay, we'll just roll with it. So yeah, that was a bit awkward, really.
Yeah, that's tough stuff. That's that's too bad.
We're over it now. It was a long.
Shall we get onto the rugby there? Because I mean, it kind of went hand in hand. A special day for you, Louise, but also like such a special day for the team, and that must sound kind of so weird, and I don't mean to sound patronising saying that, like after you lost, and unfortunately obviously didn't come away with any points in the end, but nonetheless, like, what a day for that team, because France, as we know, so much more professionalism for so much longer, and you gave them one hell of a test.
Yeah, completely. There's such a belief in our squad at the moment, so I think we turned up really ready to put out performance, and we were in the game for so long, and I think that last try is just so frustrating, because I think we really, really deserve that losing bonus point. So I think we're all kind of quite frustrated at that. But yeah, we can't take away from how hard we fought throughout that, and everyone in the entire squad really got us to that place.
And you guys also like went into the lead before half time. So what was kind of spoken about in the changing rooms? Like, what was that feeling being like, is everyone kind of on the same page of like, we've got this, guys?
Yeah, completely. I think like the whole message throughout the game was France are going to, you know, throw some offloads, they're going to come at us, but our whole kind of message was just like, let's deal with it. Let's not lose our heads. Let's not lose our processes. Like, we've got the ability to handle them. Let's do it. And I think in the end, you know, we maybe just didn't have that whole 80-minute performance, because I think we probably deserved, like I said, that losing bonus point. But like the last minute try to finish the game was quite frustrating, because I think we'd done so well for the whole game.
So before any of the games, we kind of spoke about kind of what we thought, you know, each of the teams were going to do. And I spoke about how at times Scotland would stay in it for like 40, 60 minutes and then maybe kind of lose their way. And it just didn't look like that at all. And I was just, oh, I was so gutted for you guys. Like that last score, as you say, it must have just been so frustrating, because your defence was incredible.
Was there any part of you like during that game where you had a little word to one of your teammates and you were like, oh, doing all right here, aren't we? We're in this.
Maybe not so much that, but it's silly to say, like, Scotland going to every single game with such belief. Like, that is kind of what our speciality as a team, like our passion, our love for one another. So I think like we really thought that we could have won that game. So those messages were more like, let's keep at it. But I mean, we were literally peeling each other off the ground at the final whistle. Like, I don't think there was anybody that could have given any more. We were literally like on the ground at 80 minutes. So yeah, it was a tough one to take.
And like, where does this sort of leave you as well? Because, you know, the game's coming up, you've now got England coming up, of course, in a couple of weeks' time. And I guess, again, that's going to be another test. But I assume you take loads from a weekend like that that you can now put into England, and it's about backing it up, which will almost be a bigger challenge than France, will it, in that sense?
Yeah, completely. And one of our big goals for the England game as well is to sell out our stadium. Yeah. So we're currently really on track to do that. So hopefully we get there. And that, again, will be another huge, exciting challenge for us, like playing in front of a sold-out stadium for the first time at home, which will be so exciting.
This will be something that will be of interest to people. Obviously, we try and appeal to people who are getting into rugby, and they might be sort of thinking about playing it. We have seen, watching Scotland in the last couple of weeks, unfortunately, whilst there's the brilliant side of the game, there's also the side of the game that is dangerous, and that we do see some really bad injuries. And it's been really, really sad to see, obviously, on Scotland's side, a couple of really difficult to watch injuries sort of from the outside and on telly and everything in the last couple of weeks. And it'd be interesting to get your take as a professional and someone who plays at the highest level. What is that? To me, watching that on the telly, you're like, there's no way I could play rugby after seeing something like that happen to one of my teammates. How do you kind of block that stuff out?
Yeah, I think like we've obviously been really unlucky that we had obviously like two girls from the first game and then Molly with a concussion in the last game. And it is tough because like those are some of my closest friends, so that aspect's really tough of it. Like, you hate to see any of your friends get hurt. But I suppose for us, and like, I completely think we've got one of the best medical teams in the world, so I know that the care will be there for them if there ever is any danger. Like, we've got the best medical team to get on there. And although sometimes situations might seem the scariest first, like when you've got a good medical team and like good staff kind of communicating around to all the players what's happening, I think there's a lot of trust there. And what might at first seem like a really scary situation is actually, like, once the kind of initial shock's over, it's normally not as scary as it ever once seemed.
It's part and parcel of playing any sport, not just rugby. Obviously, the fact that it's a contact sport, you get those contact injuries as well as kind of the non-contact kind of muscle pulls and things like that going over on your ankle. That can happen, you know, in any other sport. And people think that it's a lot worse, I think, because it is a contact sport. Yeah, it was such a shame for Molly, bless her. She'd literally just come on the pitch. And yeah, that's just super unfortunate. Did it happen during the collision or on the floor? Do you know? Or was it kind of both?
I think, yeah, the chat was that it was the collision, and then she initially then tried to stand up again. But she was like talking and walking after the game. It was like deemed a concussion, but she was able to talk and make some jokes afterwards, which was always lovely to see because Molly's such a big character and part of our squad. So yeah, we're all very kind of like relieved when we saw her walk around at the end of the game and came in for the final huddle. Like, Molly, don't do that to us, man.
Well, we're sending them all our love. And like you said, it was great to see Molly like in the like in the huddle and stuff at the end. And that was when you actually got your cap, wasn't it? And I saw the video on social of Rachel Malcolm, the captain, giving you a sort of a talk, and she described you as a line out Nors. What does that mean?
I would say she's equally just a line out Nors. No, we've always kind of prided our set piece in Scotland, and we really want to nail it. So I think just one of those people that drives the standards, because it's something we've always been quite proud of.
Would you describe yourself as a line out Nors, Vicky?
I mean, I used to throw into the line out, didn't really have a clue what was going on with all the moves, just knew where I had to put it. And then when I changed position, I was like, oh no, I've now got to learn hundreds of different movements for these lineouts. They're not as easy as they look. There's so many different options.
No, they don't look easy. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, they don't look easy. I don't understand how you remember. Louise, are you one of those people that like writes it down on like your arm or something?
I'm just somebody that has remembered them. But I also, like, when new girls come into the squad, I always feel bad because I've been around for so long. I feel like I've been there every kind of like creation of a new lineout move. So people have got literally, when they come in, like thousands of lineouts learned, but I'm literally like, I was there the day we first ran it. Like, that's kind of how I remember them, because I've been there for a while now.
The hardest bit is having different ones at club to when you go to like your international team, and when you go back and you're trying to run all of the ones that you've just been doing for weeks when you're with the Six Nations, and everyone's confused, especially at Sarries when we had players from Scotland, Ireland, England, Wales, and everyone's like, oh my god, we've forgotten them.
Do you ever like let one on? Do you ever like, oh no, wait, that was the one we did at national, no, we're playing against you next week, we've given it away? Has that ever happened?
I sometimes, because Fee also plays at Sarah's now at Scotland, and sometimes if we're trying to learn moves, we'll be like, oh, it's like this call at Scotland, or Sarah's like, this is how we remember them, just like little code words. But I've not been so bad as to call a wrong call, luckily.
You're like the line out Bible. You just know every single one there's ever been. Before we let you go, this is interesting, actually. We got a message through, which I was going to ask to Vicky, but later on. But let's do it with both of you, because this will be interesting. We had a message from Kirsty, who says, hi, Vicky, Ellie, and Robbie, and Louise as well. I've been really enjoying the Six Nations, and particularly seeing how much Scotland have improved. My question would be, when you are in a scrum, do the people who are on the side look at each other, or does it get a bit awkward when you're literally opposite each other? Love the podcast, Kirsty. I love that. So I think she's referring to flankers.
Well, I can speak as a second row, and you can see people through the scrum, but normally it is quite awkward because your faces are so squished and like that. So I always just try to give everyone a bit of kindness and not look at faces through the scrum, because we're both like in a world of pain. We're just doing our jobs. Like, let's not acknowledge each other, because I know that the flankers can have a bit of chat, but we're not really in the position, second rows, to give each other a bit of chat. So we're just kind of, if you make eye contact, just a nod. We're in the workhorses, like we're in the engine. Yeah, don't worry, we're going to get through this. There's not a lot of chat that can happen when your face is getting squished like that.
What about when you've played flanker?
I've always been rubbish at the chat. Like, I know that some people can give it out. I'm very much hyping up my own front row and my own squad. I've always, like, any chance, any opportunity I have ever given some chat, it's always fallen flat. So I'm very much focused on my own scrum. But there is, yeah, people that can give some chat.
Yeah, I'd say I was always very much in the same boat as you.
Really?
I wasn't like a Marley or a Poppy or...
No.
Just let them do it, and I just, yeah, focus on what I'm doing.
Well, in my much younger days, maybe a bit of immaturity, there was somebody coming a bit slow to the scrum, and I tried to call her old, and then she was like, who do you think you are? I was like, yep, that was terrible, I hate myself, I will never do that again, and I'm so sorry.
So yeah. In response to Kirsty's question, where are we saying, if Kirsty's going to go and play club rugby and she's going to become a flanker, are we saying make eye contact, or are we saying look in a different direction, it's going to get awkward?
I think you do make eye contact. Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah?
As a flanker, yeah, definitely, yeah. But it's up to you how you then roll with it, whether you're someone who gives a bit of chat or just focus on what you're doing.
Good advice. It's good stuff. All right, we better let you go, Louise, because you've probably got rugby and stuff to do. You're in the middle of a Six Nations campaign. What's the sort of deal now then? Because you've got, obviously, like, what is it, 10 days or so to the England game, so you've got a bit of time off, or you're back in training. What's going on?
Yeah, Scotland have given us kind of away training to do, so the idea that, like, for, like, basically 5 weeks now, we've been pretty full on, so a little bit of time just to chill, relax, and then kind of get refreshed and ready into England week, so... we're ready to go.
Good stuff. Also, there is one other thing I've just remembered that we've got to mention. Whilst Rachel Malcolm was giving you the chat, we also heard them sing a song about you, and that you got McFly, and it's all about you. Or was it, crucially, all about Lou?
Yeah, how sweet was that? Basically, for the last few people that have got 50 caps are absolutely, what should I call her? The delight of our team, that is Rona Lloyd. She has always missed the shirt presentations. So everybody's 50th cap shirt presentation, she would always, for some reason, be away. So she would always send in a message, which turned out to be a song. But because she was present in my cap, I just didn't assume there would be a song. But then after my jersey presentations, Molly Wright actually sat down with a guitar, and I was like, what is happening here? And then Rona had changed some of the lyrics to the McFly song, so it was very sweet. Yeah, it was pretty cool. But it's one of those moments, like, when I was getting presented to my cap, I was like, what do I do with my hands? And then they all started singing. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. But yeah, it's such a special moment. And my parents absolutely loved it, which was important because they were there to watch.
So it was all about Lou.
I wouldn't say that, but I think that's the lyrics they were singing.
Good. I think that is a good place to end it. And I think maybe we should, Vicky's going to hate me for saying this, but I think we should sing out Louise McMillan.
Oh my goodness.
You can do it. You can do it solo.
Rona's gonna love
a one,
this.
A two, a one, two, three, four. It's all about Lou. It's all about Lou, baby. It's all about Lou. we'll leave it there. Louise, thank you so much for being on Outside Centre. You're our first ever guest, and what a good guest to have. We wish you all the best of luck in 10 days' time against England. Vicky doesn't. I do, because Scotland fan.
So, of course I do. Well, I'm impartial now. I'm a fan. I'm enjoying how close all of the games are and actually just seeing, you know, all of the other teams come on every single year. Like, I'm excited to see how you guys go against England. You're doing amazingly. Defend like you have been, and yeah, could be a really good game.
Proper fun tournament for Scotland. Well, thanks, Louise, and we'll speak soon.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Lou.
Oh, nice to have Louise on. She's lovely, isn't she? Like, one of those players that you just feel really happy for when you see her do well.
Yeah. Like, I don't think anyone would have a bad word to say about her. She's like the nicest human.
Let's get stuck into what else took place this weekend then. So, win for France up in Edinburgh. There was also a win for England at Ashton Gate as they scored 8 tries to beat Wales 46-10 in Bristol, in front of, by the way, what was a record crowd of over 19,500 people. Record crowd for a Red Roses home game, that is, outside of Twickenham. Really interesting game. I felt like kind of England maybe had to weather a few storms at times, but ultimately they came through it and they were on it, Vicky.
I think the weather and the storm thing, like, that's always the case against Wales. You know that they're going to be physical. You know that they're going to put their body on the line. They'll carry hard. There's so much passion when they wear that Welsh shirt. But yeah, just as we keep talking about, England are just too strong. There are some fantastic bits of play as well. Like, I'm really enjoying seeing Holly at 10. The way that she...
Holly Aitchison, yeah.
She plays so flat to the line. And I personally think that she is one of the best in the world at putting people into space. And we just see those half line breaks, full line breaks so many times in the game because she's put someone into that space. But also having Meg at 13, she can also kind of share that going into that first receiver role, and I just think that works really, really well. It was a good combination, I thought.
What do you mean by, like, first receiver? That's like the first person to get the ball from a ruck?
Yeah, so normally it'll be the 9 who's passing the ball out, but the person who catches it first, who's normally like your best kind of ball player, someone who's going to make the decision as to what kind of pass they're going to put in or whether they're going to put a kick in, that's classed as the first receiver. And when you have so many players on the pitch who play 10 at club, it helps so much, because also we've seen when Helen is on there, she's played a lot at 10. When you've got Zoe and Holly playing 10-12, obviously Zoe plays 10, Holly plays 10, so there's lots of distributors in that team, lots of people with a kicking game. And it just means that it keeps the defence guessing.
It's a bit like having like an entire team of like football midfielders. They can all like do a bit of like a little bit of everything and kind of run the game. Really interesting. And you mentioned strength. Oh my word, let's talk about Ellie Kildum. Because if you're getting into rugby and you're looking for sort of people to keep an eye on and just enjoy watching, then Ellie Kildum is absolutely one of those people. She was insane at the weekend. She scored, what was it, a couple of tries. And that, I love that Sarah Orchard commentary for her second try where she just said, oh, she can't get over again. Oh, yes, she can. Like, that was kind of that's what it's like watching Ellie Kildum, isn't it? You're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be able to do these things because she's not like the biggest player in the world, but she's so good. She runs and powerful and everything.
Yeah, she's on fire at the moment. It's so good to see, because I obviously saw when she kind of first broke into the squad, and just to see her development has been phenomenal. I think when she first like broke into the squad, she was quite scared of being in the weights room. Now you're seeing her like move some big weights, you know, when England, like their social media are going out and they're putting things about what the girls are doing in the gym. She's there lifting some of the heavier weights, and I'm pretty impressed kind of like with my fitness background. I'm like, yeah, go on, Ellie. And that's then kind of showing in how she's performing on the pitch. So there were definitely times when she would not have scored either of those tries. She would have just kind of been tackled into touch or been pushed backwards. But she has got so much fight in her, and it's showing in her defence, but also in her attack. So yeah, she's really like, she's improved so much, and her like all round game is now world class.
Like you said, she had no right to score the score those tries. And it's also a really nice reminder for people that, you know, looking at rugby, and sometimes rugby has this stereotype of, you know, you've got to be really big and it's only for one size and things like that. But you look at, again, like Ellie Kildan, you said she's doing the weights and stuff, but she's still like quite slight, isn't she? And it's a really nice reminder that like rugby's for every, you know, anyone, all shapes and sizes. And it's really, really exciting to see someone like that do so well.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you can kind of look across all of the teams and see those players who are a bit slighter, but they put their body about and they play well above their weight. And it's definitely not just about size. You know, some players are a bit more steppy. Some of those players are the ones who are a little bit more skillful. And yeah, there's a place for all shapes and sizes on a rugby field.
Also, something we saw this week was Jamie George, the England men's captain, was in the Red Roses camp, wasn't he? He was like doing a bit of work with the hookers and stuff. That was really nice. I don't think I've seen that before, that he was coming in and doing a bit of work, and sort of the two teams were like working as one.
Yeah, he actually came and did a little bit with some of the Saris girls a few years ago. So he's kind of been in and around it a little bit and likes to kind of pass on his knowledge. And it's awesome to kind of have that kind of link with the men's players. Honestly, like as females, kind of you feel like you kind of get pushed to the side, and actually to have someone show that they care like means so much. And he's so knowledgeable, so and he's such a nice guy, so like you just want to do well for him and take on every single thing that he says. And it's just refreshing, like kind of listening to a different voice and having someone else kind of lead those drills and things. So yeah, I'm sure the girls would have enjoyed having him there.
Yeah, that was lovely. And I hope we see more of it. And maybe like as well, we'll see some of the Red Roses go into like the England camps and stuff like that for ahead of Autumn Nations and stuff like that. That'd be really, really, really nice to see. And
yeah, that would be pretty cool.
And I know we haven't spoken much about Wales in this podcast, but let's just do a line on them. We knew there'd be a reaction right from that Scotland game because they were not expecting to lose that game to Scotland. And it did seem like there was a bit of a reaction, but ultimately it's two losses from two for Wales now.
Yeah. I also didn't, again, I'm talking about Ciara Bevan. It's just like, I love her. She's like my favourite player or something, but I don't really know why she was on the bench. She made a massive impact when she came on. Just that senior head, just as soon as they got a penalty 5 metres out, she took that quick tap and scored. Like, I just think she just thinks about those little extra things. So caught England napping, went and scored. Yeah, I'm not sure why she was on the bench, whether that was just managing minutes or they wanted someone to come on and like up the tempo. But I thought she made a huge impact when she came on.
Yeah, going to be interesting what develops for Wales in this tournament. They've got to travel to Ireland next, as for England, of course, as we mentioned, they're taking on Scotland. Then the final game of the weekend, arguably the most exciting, was Ireland against Italy over in Dublin. Italy withstood a very, very, very late comeback to win with a bonus point. They won 27-21. But Italy were pretty much in control of that game. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, I was watching it on the telly, Ireland suddenly scored at the end of the game and then so nearly scored again to actually win it. It was such an exciting end. I was watching it with my rigatoni in my hand. What did you make of it, Vicky? Because it was kind of the game was drifting a bit, and then suddenly those last 5 minutes you were like, oh, hang on, I am watching this game properly now.
Yeah, I think both teams were pretty evenly matched. There were lots of errors, but I think that came from both teams wanting it so much, so we're trying a little bit too hard when they did have the ball and were attacking. However, both sides defensively were really coming out, shutting down the attack and putting that pressure on. It seemed like Italy just had the ball a little bit more, had a little bit more control. But yeah, as you say, like Ireland coming back in that last kind of 5 minutes when the clock was in the red, that was all Ireland. And I just thought, oh, they're going to come back. I thought they could actually win this. Like, or was it to draw? can't remember.
No, we would have won. I think they would have won.
They would have won it if they'd have 21... converted try. They would have won it. I was like, go and score under the post. Come on, you've got this.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because you were like, well, hang on. They nearly went over because there was like the line out, wasn't there? And then the mall, but it was kind of, it was close to the corner flag. And you were like, well, score, yeah, but in, maybe, hang on, maybe just give it 1 minute.
Yeah, and such a great game to watch as a neutral. Because it could have just gone either way.
And so where do Ireland go from this then? Because they're two losses from two as well. And like it felt like it was kind of there at times for Ireland, but they just couldn't quite get over the line.
Two losses, however, in comparison to how they've performed over the last couple of years, they are in such a good place. Like they've improved so much. They're improving each game. And, you know, going into this next one, hopefully they'll be able to put that performance in. It was really nice to see kind of Parsons getting involved in this game. So she didn't get much ball in the first game. But, you know, coming back from sevens, we've spoken about some of the sevens players being back in an Ireland shirt. And she is such a strong runner. Again, she's of smaller frame, but she was sitting people down and... Yeah, she had some incredible involvement. So it was really nice to see that she was getting involved there. And I just think they're going to go from strength to strength and take lots of learnings from every game.
And also, we got to say, it was one hell of a day once again for Stevie, who sung the national anthem again. The little boy who we saw him do it in the Men's Six Nations, did it again, and he nailed it. He is one of my favourite people on the planet.
He is the cutest little thing. And I saw him do an interview on one of the like morning shows throughout the Men's Six Nations, and he's just adorable. Like, his whole life is Irish rugby. And I can't remember, was it Omani and maybe another player? And they came like either side of him. And obviously he's quite small anyway. They're just humongous men. And he was just there like trying to hold back the tears. Just like his dream had come true of like meeting those players. And yeah, he's adorable. Love him.
So, so good. We love him so much. I think at some point we've got to work away. He's doing his PR stunts. We've got to find a way of getting him on the podcast. He's got to
get him on.
He's got to be doing the podcast rounds at some point. So we'll keep an eye on that. I'll get producer Callum to keep an eye on that. That's where we stand then after round two. In terms of the table, England are at the top. They have maximum points. They've got 10 points from their two games. France have 9. Italy are in third with 5 points. Scotland in fourth with 4. And Ireland and Wales are 5th and 6th respectively with 1 point. Next up, Scotland against England in Edinburgh. That's next Saturday. Ireland against Wales. France against Italy as well are the fixtures to look forward to. We'll chat more about them a bit next week. But what's the deal in terms of sort of, so we got this one fallow week, so 1 week off this week. We heard what Louise was up to. What will most of the teams be doing sort of training wise this week?
I think England are actually in camp for a couple of days. But then, yeah, they'll be given kind of stuff, like Lou said, to go and work on while they're at home. And for me, it was always just a really nice time to go and rest and reset and go and see your loved ones, have some time at home, your home comforts, all that kind of stuff. Because throughout the Six Nations, you are away a lot of the time, like weeks on end, living out of a suitcase, things like that. It's just nice to be at home for a few days, even if you have got training to do. To be able to be left to your own devices, to go and do it on your own, do it when you want to, where you want to, all that kind of stuff just makes a big difference. So I think the girls will be in camp with England for a few days, and then we'll have some time at home before regrouping, and probably the same with the other teams as well.
There's also still loads of rugby to watch this weekend. As we mentioned, obviously, like, Ellie's going to be playing in Hong Kong. That's going to be exciting because that's on, like, in the morning, and it's on TNT and stuff. So that'll be quite a nice thing. We can wake up and watch it in the morning and have a bit of rugby.
And also, she said, a massive crowd. So that'll be huge for some of those girls who haven't played in front of such a big crowd before. Like, that's just insane when you've got a stadium with 40,000 people. That just gives you kind of an extra couple of percent to go and work a bit harder and just to enjoy kind of having that many people watching you.
It's going to be really, really exciting. I'm looking forward to finding out, and we'll find out about Flowergate as well. We spoke about mascots, and we know that they have their flowers, don't they? And we need to find out whether or not they're real or fake.
Yeah, we need a picture. Flowers. We need to see what they are.
Oh, just elsewhere as well from the rugby world. If you didn't see this, by the way, make sure you try and find this on social media somewhere. The USA were playing South Africa at the weekend in a friendly. It was in near London, I think. And the USA scored within, I think, 9 seconds or something from the kickoff. It's mad.
How is that even possible? That is literally like sevens.
If you're South Africa and you get yourself hyped up for that game, you're like, oh, God, come on.
Oh, what?
You're joking. Barely finished the national anthem. Mad. All right, let's wrap this up, shall we? Before we go, though, we do need to talk pasta. Just to give this some context, if you haven't been listening in the last few weeks, this all started out when we were talking about Beatrice Rigoni, who plays for Italy. Ellie then said that a commentator had called Beatrice Rigoni rigatoni once, like the pasta. We then got thinking and thought we'd make rugby players into pasta shapes, aka I'm talking things like Nocky Clark or Zoe Harrison, Fiona Macaroni Tosh, etc. And then, Vicky, what was your idea that you had last week? You threw a spanner in the works, didn't you?
Yeah, I said you could always drain your pasta with Alex Colander.
So you now have expanded this. You've expanded this to the entire pasta making process. And I'd like to let you know that people listening to this podcast have very much got on board with that. So you mentioned you can, of course, use an Alex colander. However, you're going to need to start with your pasta in a Panna Jones. You will also need to combine your pasta with some Danielle Waterman. Very essential. And when you've made your pasta, you're going to need to stir and serve it using an Eleanor U10 snow sill. And you might want your pasta, because you don't want it to be too dry, you may use some Hannah Butterman.
I just don't know where we go from here.
I think we expand it to the entire kitchen. If that's what the people want, then we expand it to the kitchen.
Let's do it.
Or if it's run its course, I'm also fine with that. But if you've got any and you want to keep it going, you're more than welcome.
Any appliances, anything in the kitchen?
You know what? Until we have some more features and this podcast has got off the ground a bit more, we'll take what we can get. All right, we'll run the pasta and the cooking thing until it's absolutely exhausted out. I'm fine with that. A good place to end this week's Outside Centre. A reminder, if you want to get in touch, you can do at Outside Centre Pod on Instagram or TokTik if you fancy it. Anything Six Nations rugby related or pasta related or kitchen related, absolutely fine. Do please subscribe, give us a review, tell your friends and family, share us with your rugby club, whoever you want to share us with. We hopefully are for everyone, so please do get in touch. So we'll speak next week, Vicky, will we?
Yeah, of course.
Good stuff. All right, tear it up. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.